What up, EDM champions? This week, we got new music from Porto Robinson, Alenium, Calvin Harris, and we're also discussing drug use during virtual raves, segregation in dance music culture, and so much more on episode 72 of Beyond the Beats, a podcast about EDM news and culture. You guys ready? Let's go.
EDM champions, what is going on? Welcome to episode 72 of Beyond the Beats, a podcast about EDM news and culture. And champions, get ready for some vibes. I'm bringing in kind of an organic house, deep house blend here, so just expect some foreign sounds that you might not be used to, but I have a feeling you'll walk away with really liking. Take a listen to Edelezi, but this is the DJ Dark and MD DJ rework.
You just threw a lot of words at us during the title and the artist introduction, but I am pumped up for this song to be your on repeat. You know what I love about you, man? You were just listening to a bunch of new music from a bunch of different cultures and backgrounds, and I think that is just so sick because that means and that shows me and the EDM champions that you're just exploring all these new sounds. And this right here, this one really threw me in for a loop. You know, we were texting a little bit about this. I was a bit unsure of the origins of this track. So could you please give us a little bit more context?
For anybody who is out there, maybe from Turkey, I know we have some listeners over in Turkey and any of the Balkan states out there, they will definitely know what this song is referring to. So Edelezi, which is the title, and I'm probably, you know, bastardizing the pronunciation of that. So apologies if I am, but you still know what I'm referring to. It's actually a Romani folk song about a festival. So it's a spring festival that celebrates the passing of spring, going into spring. So it's the spring equinox. So this song, the original song, Edelezi, is a very, very popular folk song that is commonly sung during the practice of this festival. And I thought it was just very interesting that DJ Mark and MD DJ decided to do a tech house, deep house type of remix on this. It's not something that you would normally expect, but I actually think it works. I mean, how about you, man? Do you think it works?
I really think it works. And what I love on top of that is that it was just also kind of interesting because, like, the lyricist here, Dekanda, she just kept me on my toes. I was like trying to figure out like what language is she speaking in, and that's why I had to do some Googling to really figure out like what's going on in this track because it's just so intriguing, man.
Yeah, Dekanda is so they are a Polish band, and their whole thing is bringing in sounds from all different ethno-racial backgrounds. So that's kind of their thing. They describe themselves as like a internationalist band.
I love that.
They play different things as well.
That is really cool, man. Thank you for introducing us to some new music right here on Beyond the Beats, a podcast about EDM news and culture. And speaking of new music, guys, we got a bunch of new music to talk about. So Alec, you ready?
I'm so ready, man. Let's do it.
Let's fucking go. Here we go to the new music section. The first track I want to play for all the EDM champions out there. We got Porto Robinson's brand new track, Mirror. Take a listen to this.
This is an interesting one, man, because there has been some controversy over this, I think, in the Porto fan base. I don't know why, but I feel like there's sometimes some controversy whenever Porto Robinson always puts out something. You can really tell how his style is evolving and changing as time goes forward and moves on. It's really kind of a little bit different from Worlds. However, I'm about this. I can see where it's going. It's not a song that's going to be like a just bought tickets for me. It's not something where I'm like, okay, I absolutely need to see him play this. In a vacuum, it's not making me want to do that. However, it's just really more excited to see where he takes his sound.
Yeah, man. You know what's interesting about this new project, the Nurture album, the second album from Porter Robinson? The previous singles, Something Comforting and Get Your Wish, they didn't really hit for me immediately as much as this song Mirror did. So the first time I heard this song, I was actually really about this one. And I think that people, just speaking of that controversy, need to remember that Porter's style is ever evolving. We got Complexstro in the early 2010s, and then Worlds in 2014 was just radically different from that. And then now followed by this new indie electronic sound. Like, I feel like, I don't know why Porter Robinson fans are just so shocked by this, but I gotta say, I love the uplifting nature of his new direction. I do hope, though, in the album release, we get a little bit of contrast as compared to all these uplifting tracks. All right, so there we go. We just listened to Porter Robinson's brand new track, Mirror. We're gonna move right into it. We got Alenium with his brand new single, Nightlight. Take a listen to this one.
What can I say? It's just another classic Alenium release. And really what I mean when I say classic is the fact that it goes back to the core sound that really got him famous and adored by plenty of EDM champions across the world. I enjoyed the song, although it's definitely not one that I would have on repeat, as it just feels a little bit too similar to his original sound for me. But perhaps that's because I've just listened to some of his older tracks so much that I'm like, okay, I've heard this before. I could take a pass on it. However, I know there's a bunch of champions out there that could be very, very excited about this.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. You know, for me, like, as soon as I heard the lyrics to this song, I could run, I could cry, I could bleed. I rolled my eyes so hard straight to the back of my head. And I was thinking to myself that this was going to be another one of those cry banger, headbanger songs. However, I have to say, I was pleasantly surprised by the rest of the production. I thought Annika Wells' lyricist sounded beautiful on the track, and the guitar leads coupled by Alenium's percussion, whoo, that was perfecto, dude. But I just got to say, man, the lyrics, they need to move on from that middle school breakup that happened 15 years ago, okay?
Some people don't move on, man. Sometimes the heart aches, the heart aches.
You guys shared one juice box at lunch, all right? You got to get over it. All right, Alec, what is the next song that we're talking about?
We're going to be talking about Iman Beck and Afrojack featuring Gia Coca with their song Hey Baby. Let's take a listen. But I can't, cause hey baby, you got me tripping. Oh my, I'm dreaming down, it's a kid hit me different. My heart is beating, boom, I'm on the wave. I can see straight, it's so hazy. Hey baby, you got me tripping, think I'm losing it.
All right, I think Alec is going to crucify me for my thoughts here, but right out. I'm going to say it, dude. This just sounded like a super generic, like, wannabe popular house track, like this popular sound that we're hearing in house music by all these big-name DJs. And sometimes, like, sticking to a formula can be fine, but for me, I just literally felt like I've heard these sounds before in a copy and paste style. The only thing that was redeeming for me was, like, that Vocaloid on the drop. Alec, you're shaking your head at me. What's going on?
Incorrect. In fucking correct, my man. This is not a generic wannabe house track. And I can see where you're coming from, but let me explain why it's not. So Iman Beck, people will know him. He's a Kazaki DJ producer who just came out absolutely out of nowhere. And I believe it was TikTok that made him famous with his remix of Roses, which if you go and look on Spotify, has over 800 million plays on it. So I mean,
damn,
this thing is just blown the hell up, and I'm pretty sure it was TikTok, but someone can fact check me on that later. Reason why I'm saying you're wrong is that this is really just a signal to the entire community that the Balkan and East Central Asia style of deep house, which we've talked about before, and for better or for worse, I've labeled it deep bass house, for just, I don't really know how else to describe it, combination of deep house with big room and progressive coming in as well. It's just a signal that this is coming into the mainstream here. So This wasn't the best executed, I will admit, and I can see why you're saying it sounds super generic, but I blame actually Afrojack for that, because this is not very similar to the rest of Iman Beck's releases. It follows kind of that formula on the drop. However, it's really not playing into what his usual core sound is. So what I think happened is that Afrojack wanted to try blend this in with the mainstream sound that he has by including some of these vocals, which are a little bit cheesy, not well done, kind of bringing in his big room expertise and trying to blend it in. And it just didn't really quite execute very well. So I'm not going to say it's a wannabe house track, because I think that's really missing the point here. But this is a trend that you just have to be ready for. And hopefully they can execute it better when we see this on main stages in 2021 and 2022.
Okay, fine, Alec. You could take off those boxing gloves, all right? You don't have to come at me like that. I saw, I know, dude. But yeah, let's definitely keep an eye on Iman Beck, because I think that sound is definitely worth exploring more here on the podcast. All right, here we go. We got one last track, all right? Oliver Heldens, you can't stop this guy. He just got a brand new track out. It's called Break This Habit featuring Kiko Bun. Take a listen.
Break this habit.
For me, this is all about the lyrics, and the lyrics, my friend.
Let's go.
This is really what makes the song for me, and I think it's honestly supposed to be the focus of the song. You heard it here from me. It's a certified vibe.
Damn, certified vibe, dude, love that. And I gotta agree with you, man. Production wise this is really nothing new from Oliver Heldens, but it does have a tiny twist of calypso drums. But my god, these lyrics are fired, especially that whoa-oh sound, like on the drop. Oh man, this is 100% a sing-along for those summertime or rooftop vibes. Dude, I'm all in on this one. I'm really pumped up on this release.
Dude, fantastic stuff. And then we've got two more songs to put on your radar, but it's from the artist we're watching. We absolutely love talking about these guys.
These guys are fucking killing it. All right, who are we talking about first? Let's go.
Hellbound, baby, just dropped an EP called Afterlife. I think for this one, we're gonna play Alone. So let's give that one a spin.
I will alone.
Four tracks from Hellbound released on Welcome Records. You guys already know Welcome Records. Welcome to the doghouse. We got Kazo. All right, man. Dude, pumped up on this release. And I gotta say, I was really surprised to see this release on Kazo's label, but then I realized that like him and Hellbound, they have a history together, number one. And Welcome Records isn't necessarily about like sticking to a genre. It's more so about releasing quality records, and that's exactly what we got. And I want to leave you with one last thought before we get your thoughts. IO and Hellbound absolutely need to go back to back. They got this techno sound that just matches up perfectly. I want to hear it. Alec, your thoughts, please.
My God, that is a match made in heaven. Come on, IO, Hellbound, I want to see it. At least a virtual one. Give us something. We need it. We absolutely need it. But in terms of my thoughts on this one, what I love about Hellbound and what he's doing, especially with this EP, is he's just shown the world his diversity in sound and his ability to keep pumping out quality, club-ready tracks. It's absolutely quality. Emphasis on the quality here. And what I love about him too, and as well as IO now that you bring him up, is that he's really helping open the door to techno for people who probably would have initially scoffed. They went, oh, I'm never going to see a techno set. Oh, God, techno. No way. I'm sticking to bass house and I'm sticking to dubstep. But I actually think Hellbound and IO are going to be able to pull some people over from those genres there too. Really Absolutely. Bring them into the techno tent. Let's see and let's hope that Hellbound keep on doing what you're doing. Awesome stuff.
Absolutely. All right, Alec, this next one is an artist that you put on everybody's radar, so please go ahead and introduce her to the EDM champions.
Nostalgics, it's great to have you back on Beyond the Beats. Just, she's just doing awesome, awesome things, going strength to strength. But she just dropped a track with Rose Motion, and it's called By Myself. Give it a spin. You saw right through every last bit of me. Now you can see how even I can change my ways, become a better me. Swear to you that this is my last confession. That don't mean that I don't still have some questions. Let me just say that I'm happy that you're happy. And if you're not, then we can hit it in the valley. Scotch and rocks, a couple shots, a couple. Myself,
released on Confession label. You guys already know it. The head of it. The dawn of house music. We got Chami. This is Chami's label. So massive release by Nostalgics and Rose Motion. And let me just fucking say, this is a heater, dude. This is just all around a fantastic project and package from Nostalgics and Rose Motion. Alec, what did you think?
Dude, I'm glad that you said a heater, because that is absolutely what it is. And all I can really say is, if I were emoji, it's going to be the praying hands going up. Confession.
Let's
just
go.
Thank you just for continuously putting out great sounds, and also getting someone like Nostalgics and Rose Motion on your label. What I really enjoy about this one, Samir, for me particularly, is going to be how she's able to explore the darker tones of her house, right? Keeping it within house, but keeping it within that Confession kind of darker, grittier style of house. It was really nice seeing her explore this, and I'm all about it, and I really hope she continues to put out tracks like this.
Dude, thank you so much for that. Thank you for putting Nostalgics on our radar, man. That was an artist that you're watching, and we're still watching her, and Hellbound, because they are both absolutely killing it. But Alec, dude, I just love these questions that we're getting from the EDM champion community. So just thank you so much for sending these in. And please continue to do so we can talk about them right here on the pod, on the air, during the news and culture section. Speaking of which, let's move into it. First off, Brad from Colorado, what up? You are a fantastic EDM champion. You're always sharing your tunes with us. We love you, dude. And thank you for submitting this question. So the question of the week from our EDM champion community: what are the benefits of camping festivals?
Excellent question. So Samir, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you have been to more camping festivals than I have.
Yeah, I've been to one, and my first.
Okay, so we're about the same.
So my history is a little bit limited as compared to what some others may have experienced, but I will definitely say that I feel like I've gotten a pretty good handle about like how different those two experiences can be as compared to like staying at an Airbnb or a hotel versus staying in a tent on campgrounds, which is really neat too. So I can go ahead and start with this one if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, man. So I went to Creamfields 2018. It was a solo trip, my first solo trip, going to a different country. And it was really, really dope. And I made it a point that I had to go to Creamfields no matter what. Whether people wanted to come with me or not, I was going to go. And I wanted to camp at my first festival. So Creamfields was it. And I just got to say, ever since that experience at Creamfields, it has truly opened me up to what camping festivals can be and why they are so much fun, but also at the same time, why they may not necessarily be for everybody. So in terms of the benefits of camping festivals, let me tell you something. There is nothing more fun or more convenient than waking up at your tent at 9 a.m., cracking open a nice ice cold, not even ice cold, a nice sun-warmed White Claw, and just chugging it as soon as you get up to start your day, and then literally being able to walk like 5 to 10 minutes and already be in the festival grounds. Beyond that, I know there are people who like to drink at festivals, and drinks at festivals can be super, super expensive. But now for people who are well prepped and bringing these coolers and filling them up with ice, you got all the drinks you could ever want right at your tent, which could be just a mere 10-minute walk away. So that is really dope too. But above all, the number one thing that I learned at my first camping festival at Creamfields 2018 was the community aspect. Mm. It is so much fun to have all these people around you, camping around you, and literally you guys are just a stone's throw away from each other. And as soon as you wake up, you know they're awake, and you guys just all together collectively get the day started, get the party started. Y'all get excited about who you're going to see that day. You immediately got friends right in your vicinity. It's just so easy to meet people and to meet potentially new friends that you can go to other festivals with or attend this festival with right there at your campsite. So yes, you could do that at a hotel, but I'm telling you, it is a whole different ballgame when you are camping. So that's why I love camping festivals. At camping festivals, I just want to say on the flip side, you may lose some creature comforts like hot showers or running water to brush your teeth in, but that's why you got lukewarm beer, because you can brush your teeth with lukewarm beer. All right, Alec, what are your thoughts on the benefits of camping festivals, my friend?
I love that. I love that, man. And just, you know, unfortunately, I haven't been able to do too many camping festivals. I'm just not sure why, but it's just never really worked out that way.
Sure.
Usually because actually, in full transparency as well, I've incorporated traveling into going through festivals. So I'm going to see a festival, say, in another country, but then I'm also traveling in the surrounding area. So I have a car and I get an Airbnb and all that. So
yeah,
it's more sense. Like, you know, I go just to, it's like I'm stopping off on the festival along the way. But I have done Firefly before, actually. So if people don't know, it's a 4-day festival in Delaware.
Got a bunch multi-genres.
So it's, you know, a bunch of different ones. It's like almost a smaller Bonnaroo in a way, right? I guess it's probably the closest to describe it as. But what I loved about that particularly too, Samir, was the aspect of community. You know, just having the tents close to each other, being able to be with, you know, a big group of friends, going out to meet them, and also just meeting new people as well. But just as with camping, man, it's the same thing. It's like you can't expect to have, like, you know, the hot showers and all the things that you could get in an Airbnb or a hotel room. You've got to want to rough it a bit. But that almost in its own way does add to the experience, right? So, and just in general, camping is just a great experience just to feel a little bit. I mean, it sounds so fucking hippie here, but it really does make you feel more in tune and part with the environment, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the kind of that ruffian living off the land type of feel, except you're not living off the land at all. But you can get a glimpse of it without actually having to put in any of the effort. I mean, isn't that what we want in the 21st century anyway?
Yeah, so. Yeah. It's all about low effort, but fantastic experiences. Brad, fantastic question. Thank you for submitting that one. And I know you submitted another one, which we will definitely be covering on an episode coming up pretty
soon. Another great question, yes.
Another great, seriously, really good one. And EDM champions, like Alec had already said, don't be afraid to get in touch with us. Instagram at btb.pod. We're on Twitter at podbtb. We're on Facebook. Email us, connect@beyondthebeats.co. Keep sending in those questions. We'd love to address them on the podcast. You guys rock. Keep being you.
Dude.
All right.
Dude.
Yeah. There is somebody in this scene who is really pushing the message of how the dance music culture has become incredibly segregated. And when you are not somebody who is, you know, of African-American descent or black, like Alec and I, it can sometimes be something that you don't really realize. And I'm just so happy that we have somebody in this scene, somebody like Aluna, who is discussing this and pushing these issues forward. So she recently came on to Zane Lowe's show on Apple Music, where they discuss dance music culture. And they, you know, interview artists. And Aluna, as you guys know or may not know, she was part of the duo Aluna George, and she decided to pursue a solo project. And this was a super, super eye-opening and shocking quote from her from this interview, but I really want to read this one because I think it's incredibly important. "One of my secret reasons for not wanting to go solo straight away is because the music industry is racist and predatory. I knew that as a black woman alone, I was going to get chewed up," end quote. Let that sink in.
Jeez.
Let that sink in, man. Somebody who wanted to make their way, a black woman who wanted to make their way in the dance music scene, didn't feel comfortable right from the bat going solo because she was afraid of being rejected. She was afraid of being passed on for opportunities due to racism and predatory behavior in our scene. And I'm an Indian guy. Alec is a white man. Like, we don't immediately recognize these issues because we're not living through these issues. But I'm just so happy that there's somebody who's actually talking about this.
It's incredibly frustrating, actually, to see that this is still an issue, or rather not still, but the fact that it is an issue This really just brings me back to the conversations that we had in our Black Lives Made EDM episode, which is episode 62. We'll put the link into our show notes so that you can check that out. But essentially, we discussed on the podcast how really all forms of modern dance music can be traced back to Black culture. I mean, the roots all started there, from dance hall to reggae dub, like just everything really just really stemmed from Black culture and Black people. So to me, it's just absurd that in this modern day and age, dance music is not considered to be a part of Black culture. It doesn't really make sense to me. And that's what really frustrated me when I was doing the research. So there's just two points that I really want to bring up, and I think we can maybe discuss a little bit.
Yeah.
When I was doing the research, that very, very much frustrated me and just continues to frustrate me now when I read things like this and anecdotes like this from Aluna, because she's not the only person that's brought this up recently. First of all, it's just the loss of the names of the Black pioneers in dance music, and specifically in genres such as dubstep and others, right? Where we just kind of see it as being this whitewashed or white-driven innovation in dance music, but that's actually not really the case. So that to me is incredibly frustrating, and also is a signal that something needs to change. Secondly, the lack of documentation or really any type of discussion around why dance music is no longer seeming like it's something for Black people. How did it get lost from the Black community? And I know Aluna addressed it a little bit by saying, just as things have become more commercialized in the dance music sector, it's almost become more whitewashed. And so white people have essentially taken it over. What can we do to change the dynamic and bring in the Black culture? And just not only, sorry, let's split this up then, because it's like you've got to bring in Black culture more back into music, so not stigmatize it, make it seem like it's not just a white person thing or an Asian person thing or what have you. It's all inclusive. Bringing in that minority group back in. But then the second part is, how do you raise awareness amongst the current EDM champions, and how do you get them to proactively try bring in other minority groups or understand the different underlying factors here? I think that second piece there is going to be, it's very difficult. And what can we do? I mean, what are some of the things that you think we can do? I mean, there's no clear answer, but perhaps just putting this out into the ether of having a conversation might spur inspiration in someone to actually do something.
I think in order to kind of bolster a community of inclusion, especially for groups that have just kind of been pushed out, like the Black community, as Aluna has brought up, I think what we really need to be seeing is like these big name DJs be pushing content or be pushing education through their own channels to show like what the contributions and why our history is rooted in the Black community. And that's, it's not just something that just started in Europe. Like I used to think before we did our research for episode 62, education is important, but if we don't have thought leaders and if we don't have like our influencers, and when I say influencers, I mean like our big names in the scene, like a Calvin Harris or like a Tiesto or like a Porter Robinson or somebody. Like if we don't have them pushing this message, I think it's going to fall on deaf ears, because those people are the ones who can reach the biggest audience as quickly as possible. And I think it's just a step in the right direction to get that conversation started. But before we can get there, we really need our dance music publications. And there are some that do a good job of it, but we really do need our dance music publications to write content and to produce content to get just like that baseline awareness up. And I think that that content comes from us, like us EDM enthusiasts kind of demanding that that writers focus on this sort of content.
I think that's...
It's all layered. It's basically what I'm trying to say.
Right, exactly. And that certainly helps with the awareness stage. And then I think just going even beyond that, you know, we have to be able to couple that up with whether it is, you know, collaborations between Black artists.
Yeah.
Whether it is, you know, because you see this in other areas where we're trying to improve racial equity, that there is an aspect of community outreach. So I think we also need just DJs of all levels and producers of all levels, not just big, but also people small, really making sure to interact and engage with people in the community who are of color, trying to bring them into the scene, exposing them to the music, talking about the history with them, saying if this is something that they would be interested in exploring, just giving them the opportunity to really to be exposed and also play around and enjoy the music. It's not saying that just because it's from, you know, the initial roots are in black culture that every person has to really love it and they have to like it.
Yeah.
But it's just, I think that a lot of people would like it, but they're just not given the exposure or it's not talked to about with them, right? So they're not being engaged on that level with it. You know, you see that. I think the over-commercialization has just led to it being the source of EDM. The soul of it has just become diluted in a way from it. Just that's one of the issues that
absolutely.
We've seen. And that soul comes from really much more of a interpersonal level type of thing, right? Because EDM used to be small, used to be a niche, it used to be bespoke. And that created a level of intimacy where people knew each other, people were very accepting of one another. And while we still have that to an extent in general in the EDM scene, I think we need to do a much better job about really looking at ourselves and saying, is this really inclusive? Or we just made this some type of like just massive, you know, plur culture that doesn't actually mean exactly what it means.
Like doesn't translate to what the end goal was supposed to be.
Right. Exactly. And that's exactly right. Like we need to be able to take actions that translate to that end goal and really represent, you know, the idea. Yes, plur is cheesy, but everything behind it is not. It's exactly where it started. So I think it's up to, you know, I would love to see, you know, people and even like us, whether it's media outlets, just shouting out, you know, having black artist playlists, just showing people that there are artists out there, then having those artists interact with people in the community, their hometowns, where they've come from, if they have any of the people within their own community, engaging with them with EDM music, like just really making sure to try give it more exposure and destigmatize it and not say, you know, because a lot of people probably come across it and like, you know, EDM, it's a white person thing or it's a whatever thing. It's not for me. And I just want to destigmatize that. Like the music is the music itself. It doesn't have a purpose to serve other than being something that everybody can enjoy. Like it shouldn't be, you know, made into a specific ethnicity or a certain area of the world. Like that's the beauty of electronic music is that it could be whatever you want it to be. I wish I had more certain answers. Like I really wish I had more certain answers. But
in the end for me, like I'm appreciative of the fact that Aluna felt empowered and felt like she had a voice to be able to say something about, you know, topics that I feel like a lot of us just don't realize. Like I'm not a black woman. Like I don't know what black women go through in the scene or just in life in general. And I think that like, I just love that we now have somebody who's actually speaking up and talking about inequality and racial injustice specifically in our own electronic music scene. And I think what we really need to be doing is we really need to be pushing these conversations forward and we really need to be empowering our EDM champions and us as well to say, like to demand from our media outlets that take part in the electronic music scene to say to them, we need more content like this. Like we need to see what our roots were and who is pushing these sounds forward, especially as it relates to the black community. So dude, just fucking pumped up on Aluna and the fact that she is now pursuing a solo project, which she has been wanting to do for so long and couldn't do it before because she didn't feel empowered to, but now she does. And I think that's a step in the right direction, but we're not there yet and we need to keep pushing.
We absolutely not. And just a final concluding thought that just spurred to my mind right here is that there's also the aspect of within the industry itself. So like, you know, the business aspect with people who work professionally within the industry, just as we're seeing across all different sectors in general, I think there needs to be a real introspective look at what diversity and inclusion looks like in the EDM sector. I mean, I'm not an expert. We don't work in it, so I don't know firsthand, but I'm sure there needs to be some real introspection in that regard there, just helping, you know, helping inside the industry within the internal cogs of the EDM scene across the globe, bring up more black artists, just giving them more opportunities than potentially they've had before. Because there are black artists out there. There's plenty of them. It's just they also it's not just the awareness from within the fan base and within the community, but it's also within the industry. Are they given the opportunities that everyone else is getting? And I think that's a question that we really need to address.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Super, super important questions. But moving onwards, Alec, I want to talk to you about this fascinating study conducted by NYU, New York University. What up to our EDM champions who attend NYU. So NYU did a study within their School of Global Public Health and their School of Medicine, and they set out to find have partygoers who were once within the clubs and within the raves themselves, have they migrated their drug use from the actual venue to the virtual raves and happy hours that they're attending at home during the pandemic? And while, you know, Alec, I was kind of looking at the sample size for this study and I wasn't like terribly impressed. I think they surveyed only about 128 people who live in like the New York area. So this isn't like necessarily the best study that has ever been conducted in the history of studies. However, I think it's still kind of fascinating and I want to talk to you about this. All right. So 128 people were surveyed in the New York City area. And basically what they found was that virtual happy hours are actually pretty popular among EDM partygoers, as they say, which is obviously not really that much of a shock. But they also said that 55.5% of those who were surveyed attended virtual raves, which is actually pretty fucking good. Like, you know, 55% of people who would normally go to EDM shows are tuning into virtual raves. Like, that's actually a pretty good staggering number and kind of another point with why virtual raves are so important to our culture. It's because it helps keep that party alive. It helps people feel connected to the music. But it also says here that of those surveyed, about 70% of those also attended virtual happy hours. So here is the finding here, all right? Of those who participated in these virtual events, whether it be happy hours or whether it be these virtual raves, they found that over a third of these people were using illegal drugs during this time, which is kind of interesting. Alcohol was used by a majority of the participants, about 70% for both of these events, followed by marijuana, which is about 30% of participants. So there's definitely some crossover there. And then other drugs were less prevalent for the virtual raves. So they found that the use of ecstasy and Molly was about 8.5%, and LSD was 7%, and cocaine was 4.2%. And what they found was during virtual happy hours, attendees used cocaine at a rate of 3.4%, and ketamine at a rate of 3.4%. So we don't normally talk about drug use here on the podcast, but I just thought that this was just a really fascinating study to see how drug consumption, which we sometimes see in the actual dance floor itself, has kind of migrated to the virtual rave.
Bringing it back to the point that you raised, I'm not very impressed with the sample size here, especially since it's also only within New York. I'm not sure what you're doing, but please just be a little bit more open,
inclusive,
transparent.
We were just talking about inclusion, man. Yeah,
I understand that this is the first study almost of its kind, that this really hasn't been done before. I mean, I'm not entirely sure about that. That's what they've claimed, but I've certainly never heard of a study that goes into this. But you have to just be a little bit more open. Like, for instance, the top of the news release is this: clubs close, study finds partygoers turn to virtual raves and happy hours during pandemic. Right, no one's really surprised about that. But again, I hate hate these type of releases where they just say study finds. It's just such a conclusive sounding statement to make. There's no qualification on it, and you have to really read through to see that really the sample size was 120 people within one fucking city. So that is my issue. Like, why not say small study, right? Study finds potentially that party goes turn. Like, that's just a nitpicky thing, but it's just something that really gets me going, and I hate to see.
I do want to address that because, yes, NYU, which is a pretty well-reputed school in the world, has put out this study, and they're like basically saying, like yes, from a high level, yeah, people use drugs during virtual raves. Those who were like once going to actual raves are now using drugs during virtual raves, which also leads to sensationalist headlines from other news organizations who see this story and they're just like, oh my God, these ravers are crazy.
No, I'm talking that headline was from their official news release.
Absolutely, absolutely. But what I'm saying is now if I do a Google search of NYU virtual raves, within the first page, I find this from courthousenews.com. Yeah, I'm calling you guys out. I don't know your website, but I'm calling you out. The parties are virtual, but the drugs are real. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, exactly. But again, only 128 people were surveyed, and that too in New York City. So New York City in itself may be an area that we see higher drug use as compared to like small town Kansas or small town, you know, like a small town in Europe or Asia or wherever. You know what I mean?
Like, do you know what 6% of 128 is?
Give me the math, Alec. I feel like you just did it on a calculator. Let's hear it.
7 people.
Yeah, exactly.
7.
But that's not as sexy. That's not as attention grabbing or sexy as basically just saying that those who attended virtual raves are now consuming their drugs. Sorry, those who attended raves in person are now consuming drugs during their virtual raves.
I don't want to get on a sidetrack here just about how the framing of it, but it's certainly an issue that we see in media where it's like even on the official news release itself, it's just, you know, put a qualifier on there. Small study, local study,
yeah.
some type yeah. of qualification so that people don't just jump to massive conclusions. Having said that, I am certainly not surprised by this, and I don't think anybody is going to be surprised right, by this, that right. there is a correlation and people are. But the other qualifier, the second qualifier I want to put on this is that this was taken. The surveillance were had their answers taken by NYU in April and May. So this was really just as a lockdown occurred. My yeah. hypothesis, which, you know, completely layman hypothesis here, is that I think that maybe it's on a little bit of a decline in terms of popularity of live streams and things like that since then.
Sure.
So maybe it could be different now. So again, another qualifier where it's like, this was just for 2 months of the peak of COVID. Have to remember that. So aside from the nitpicky stuff, I think it is a fascinating study. And I think it is something that should be looked at more, because will EDM live streams just become part of the new normal, even when we are past COVID and we're back to quote unquote normal life? I think that's a question that we need to think about, because then will people be consuming drugs at home instead of, you know, at a club or at a festival? And I don't know how they would get the data on this, but what I'd be interested to see is, would that be safer technically for people to be doing, because they are doing it within their own homes?
The NYU article does say that this could lead to unfortunate incidents happening as they relate to drug use at home without people being around them to perhaps go get help or to administer medical attention. So there is certainly a downside. Like, yeah, like you may be more comfortable in your own home if you're partaking. However, you may be just by yourself. And if you take too much or there's some sort of medical incident that occurs, there is less likely for somebody to go and seek help for you. NYU, people pay $65,000 to $70,000, if not more, to attend your college a year. You can do better studies than this, okay? There are people outside the immediate New York City area. I promise you. I promise you. Alec is in San Francisco. Go survey him, all right?
I think it is time that we start paying attention and start caring. As EDM becomes more popular, we sure. certainly should yeah. start looking at this. And hopefully we can just get better data on this type of stuff, because in general, there's just really terrible, poor data on drug use consumption and as it relates to events in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, man. Yeah, thank you for that. That was great. And EDM champions, guys, let us know what you think of what we just discussed. All right, feel free to connect with us. We're on Instagram at btb.pod. We're also on Twitter at podbtb. We're on Facebook. We got a website, beyondthebeats.co. Feel free to peep the show notes over there. Get connected to all the artists we just talked about. All these links to these articles, head over there. It's all going to be there. I promise you. Feel free to read through that. Let us know your thoughts. Connect with us. And you can also email us, connect@beyondthebeats.co. We would love to hear from you.
All righty then, everybody. Champions, you know what time it is. We're in the final two sections of this episode, and they really do make up and epitomize the Beyond the Beats podcast. Before we dive into the what are we listening to section, just want to give a big shout out to all the new EDM champions joining us this week.
What up?
What's up? We see you. Thank you for joining us. If you haven't been around before, if you haven't heard this section before, Samir, can you please give us a quick overview of our rating and review scale?
Here on Beyond the Beats, we have our very own unique rating scale, and it ranges from levels 1 through 5. Level 1 is what we call one listen. It's where you listen to a track and you're probably never ever gonna listen again, but you're encouraging other people to give it a listen. Level 2 is what we call background noise. It's when a song comes on, it's playing in the background, you're not going to really do anything with it, you might be doing other things, you're not too bothered by it, but it's there to keep you company. Level 3 is what we call turn it up. It's when a song comes on, you grab the volume knob and you turn it up. Level 4 is what we call just bought tickets. It's when you listen to a piece of music, you listen to an artist, and you immediately look up the next time that they're coming to your town and you gotta buy those tickets. And level 5 is speechless. It's just you and the music. The song transports you into another world and literally leaves you speechless. So to recap, level 1 is one listen, level 2 is background noise, level 3 is turn it up, level 4 is just bought tickets, and level 5 is speechless. Let's get back to it.
Thank you, my friend. Alrighty, what are we going to start with here? Depends on, let's see what vibe we want to go for first. I think let's start off with a groovy vibe, I think. I think that's where we should go first, right? Let's go with some groove. with some moves. Okay, everybody, you might have seen this come across your feeds, but big, big release from Calvin Harris and none other than The Weeknd, baby. That's right.
What up?
They teamed up for a song called Over Now. Let's give it a spin. And it's not the same, 'cause it's over now. Oh yeah, don't get too confused, and it's over now. Oh yeah, no coming back around, baby. Nothing left to lose, 'cause it's over now. Oh. Yeah. So I take this.
So I know that these sounds are like old school 70s, 80s vibes. But I gotta say, man, even though like we've kind of heard some of these sounds before in Calvin Harris's tracks, but there is nobody like Calvin Harris who is just refining them and bringing them and giving them some new light quite like him. Like, his production level is on a whole nother plane as compared to other people who are also kind of trying to revitalize like these disco slash 70s, 80s vibes. All right, I gotta give mad props to Calvin Harris. He absolutely killed it on this one. This song is smooth as fuck, all right? I can just imagine myself kind of just driving through the city, the lights reflecting over my windows as the camera pans away. And as great as The Weeknd's lyrics are, and he just sounds absolutely amazing in every single song he's on. I mean, seriously, this guy has such a smooth voice.
Really does.
I'm just kind of tired of this guy talking about like how he broke up with somebody and he's just like, whatever, I'm moving on. I'm getting to some rowdy behavior. And by the way, your friends were all hitting me up to fuck. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I feel like he's talking about on every other song. And you know what? I gotta say, I'm just kind of tired of hearing about it from The Weeknd. Like, why can't he talk about taxes? Okay, why can't he talk about, I don't know, his most recent trip to Walmart and like how he had to wear a mask and like, you know, stuff was out of stock, just something like that, something relatable. Okay, I can't
relate
to this.
I would love to hear him make Walmart trips sexy.
What about his trip to the DMV? There's nothing sexy about the DMV. But if there's anybody who can make it sexy, it is The Weeknd. All right, so that's enough from me. Alec, what are your thoughts here?
We need that. We need that. Come on, The Weeknd. I mean, you really need to start doing that. But for me, man, you know, I absolutely, hands down, 100% agree with you here. It is one of those nighttime drive in the city type of songs. For me, it would be just past sunset, 70, 75 degree weather, cracked windows down on both sides with a cool breeze coming in as you've got one hand on the wheel. Well, two hands if you want to be extra careful. Remember, two hands on the wheel. Two hands on the wheel, driving through, vibing out. I'm about this, man. Great kind of retro feeling to it. Got a good vibe with it. And I'm glad they teamed up for this. And I hope they continue to do so in the future.
Yeah, dude, they really, really snapped on this one. All right, so let's go into this next one, and I'm going to butcher one of these artists' name, but you got to help me out here, all right? We got Kaizo, we got Reaper, and we got Quiet. And it's Quiet, but spelled with an O instead of a U, and I hope I said that right. And they just released a crazy, crazy track that I'm excited to talk to you guys about. It's called Wait. Take a listen to this one. Now we make a wait, motherfucker.
You nailed the pronunciation, first of all, Smith.
Oh shit!
I think you did.
I'm pumped up.
But then again, I'm really not an expert to be talking about on how to pronounce DJ names. We need to come up with like a list of just, you know, phonetics and how you sound out each of these DJs' names. But
they should be teaching that in elementary school, man. That's all I got to say about that.
They really should.
Maybe they
be.
Do in Europe.
They
you
really
know?
Do.
We got to bring that over here to the US.
I know, man. But you know, I hate to be kind of the bringer of bad news here, but for me, I was not about this track. You know, I don't know what it was, but I just found it to sound a little bit or a tad bit generic to me in terms of what he's
dude?
Done. I know the hybridization is going on, and I do enjoy the, you know, I really liked the DMB aspect of it, right? And I thought that was really cool and how they brought that in. But I just felt like they missed the mark a little bit here. It sounded just, I wanted it to sound a little bit more cleanly than I think it did. And I just wasn't the biggest fan of the metal being included with it. I wasn't entirely sure if it needed to be done in the way that it was.
In terms of like from a clean production standpoint, I will definitely agree with you. Like I wish the mastering was done a little
That's
bit better.
What I'm saying.
Like, at times I felt like the vocals were just too loud
yes.
compared to the rest of the track.
Yes.
So I do agree with you there, but I gotta say, man, like Headbangers, all I'm gonna say is that festival season 2021 or 2022, whichever comes first, this will be a massive time of hybridization within the bass music scene. And we got some metal lyrics in here or screamo, and then we got some fucking DNB on this track too. There's just so much going on in here, but there's nobody quite like Kazo who brings it all together so perfectly. And guys, you know what? I'm going to be right up on the rail with all of you on this one. I am pumped up on this. I was a screamo kid back in middle school and high school, and this one really hit home for me. And I feel like we're going to be seeing a lot more of this type of blending of genres.
You know, and just one quick thought before we give our ratings on this. I actually did hear, I think, a little bit more of Reaper on this track. So I've been watching Reaper for a while, and I am a fan of Reaper in general. Actually, I mean, this is going to be quite controversial, but more so than Kazo himself.
Ooh,
I do enjoy Reaper a lot. So I heard a lot more, I think, of just Reaper in there. I just think that the execution could have been done better. And maybe it was just me being picky for how it sounded, but just I think just the mastering puts it off for me.
You're being picky, but that's okay because we got to be a little bit picky here. All right. We hold our ratings to a very high regard. And speaking of our ratings, Alec, I'm tossing this one over to you first. Calvin Harris, The Weeknd. All right. It's a breakup song, but The Weeknd, you already know he's back out there causing a mess in town. The track is called Over Now. Alec, what are your thoughts?
For me, I'm going to give this a level 3 out of 5. Just turn it up. Really enjoyed this. This is 100% certified vibes. Definitely putting this on my driving playlist and my sunset drive playlist more specifically as well. Something I want to listen to with the windows down while I'm driving with some beautiful views or some city views. Well done, Calvin Harris and The Weeknd.
You know, as much as I just did not like the theme of these lyrics, because I feel like I've just heard it so much from The Weeknd before, you gotta give it up to The Weeknd and Calvin Harris for creating something so sexy, something so smooth, and something so fun and flirty. And that's why I'm giving this one a level 3 out of 5. Turn it up. I'm about this.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah, love to hear that. But okay, moving onwards to Kaizo, Reaper, and Quiet. Is that how you said it?
I think you got it. Maybe you said it a little bit better than I did.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Nice job.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
For their track called Wait. For me, this one is going to be a level 2 out of 5 background noise. You know, I see it fitting into a set. I could see getting a little bit hyped up about it. Definitely enjoyed the D&B part, you know, a little bit more than other aspects of the song. But I think just the mastering might have put it off. That might have been like a stylistic or expressionistic. Sorry, that's not even a word. Expressionist choice.
Yeah.
I wish it was. That sounds like a good word, but it's not.
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
It might have been, you know, kind of just their expressionist tendencies there with it to make it sound a bit more raw, not as clean. But for me, that's just what put me off the song.
I hear you, dude. No problem. But I got to give this one a level 3 out of 5. I'm turning this shit up as soon as it comes on in the stereo, or I'm at the show and be like, yo, can you guys turn this shit up? We got to get headbanging. This is crazy. And I definitely want to see more of this from all these artists involved. This is a really good one.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. But I'm so excited that we're going into this next section. It's the artists we're watching. EDM champions, rejoice, because we are about to put 2 more artists on your radar. You absolutely have to keep an eye on these. Even if it's not your cup of tea, these are going to be names that you're going to be hearing more and more about going into the future. So definitely take note and give them some support if you can. Check out our show notes for just links to their socials and also links to their SoundCloud and Spotify. Okay, Samir, did you take away last? We always ask this, but I keep forgetting who does first.
I know. I keep forgetting as well. But Alec, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Do you like house or do you like techno? That is the age-old question. I guess I'm going first. That is the age-old question that may have finally been answered by Herc Dinin, an artist from Greece. All right. Dude, straight up out of Greece with only 1,200 followers on SoundCloud, and this guy is just gathering absolutely massive support for his newest release, House or Techno. It's been supported by the likes of EDX, Showtech, Daddy's Groove, and more. And I found this song because an EDM champion from New York City sent me an EDX set to listen to. And as soon as he dropped this song, I was my attention was just immediately grabbed, and I was so pumped up when I found that it was very recently released, and I'm so pumped up that I get a chance to be discussing it right here on the pod. Without further ado, we got Herc Dienen with his track House or Techno. Take a listen.
To answer the question of this song, I like both, and I really, really like this song, man. Just great, great find. Shout out to our EDM champion putting this on our radar as well from that EDX set. And I will say, if you're looking for good tunes, definitely tune in to EDX's radio.
100%.
It's really, really good. He has it on Spotify, but you can also go on 1001 Tracklist to find it for all the different tracks that he plays. He always brings out really, really good DJs. But Samir, my man, I mean, just fantastic pick. Really enjoyed this one. This is vibe. I'm putting it straight into my playlist already. I'm definitely gonna be playing this right after the show.
I'm so pumped up. Oh, I love that, dude. Herc Dienen like absolutely killed it on this one, man. I'm so stoked that because I haven't talked about like house music in a really long time.
While,
like,
yeah.
It has been a while. So I'm glad that I get to return with some new music from Herc Dienen, especially like a banger like this one. Like, I feel like this is just an absolute party starter for anybody.
It really is. That is exactly what it is. Party starter playlist. Definitely putting that on there.
Let's go.
All right, my man. But I'm going to bring it back.
Man.
Yeah, I'm bringing it back to some vibes, okay? I told everyone, ladies and gentlemen, if you recall last week, I told you I would be playing some more summertime vibe songs as we approach the beginning of fall. Just want to get some more good vibes back in you before we get into fall and winter. Well, I'm about to deliver some Ibiza-ready beach party vibes courtesy of Nesco. Samir, let's get this up on the decks. EDM champions, welcome to Nesco's song called Stranger.
You're doing it again. You're doing it again. You're bringing the vibes because you are a certified vibe king. And what I love is that you're presenting more worldly sounds to us once again. Influences from different countries on some fantastic chilled out but chilled party like house music tracks. I really like this one a lot, man. I actually really like the lyrics on this one too. This is I'm really pumped up on this, Alec. How did you come across Nesco? Tell us a little bit more.
I'm glad that you liked it, because I wasn't entirely sure if you were going to like it, but this has definitely got some of that, like,
yeah,
you know, it's got that Eastern European Balkan area type of vibe to it. This deep house is very, very popular in there. And also just a quick shout out to Super5, who also teamed up with Nesco for this, but just for the purpose of the intro, I just mentioned Nesco, and I really enjoy both of their tracks. And that everything they put out. So I would definitely be putting Super5 on the show notes as well. He's obviously worth checking out as well. But Nesco's from Romania, so just, you know, right in that area where all of this amazing deep house is coming out. But I found it from a YouTube mix, okay? This is something...
Oh, nice.
But dude, here's the fucking thing, okay? I found it on YouTube mix. I'll put it up onto the show notes as well. It's just, you know, one of those deep house mega, you know, 2020
mixes type of thing. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like all of those things. But what was so fucking annoying is that there's no track list in it there, right? And it was like there was a link to a Spotify playlist and it said all the songs was in there. Well, this one wasn't. This wasn't in there.
Dude.
So I was sitting through and I kid you not, I listened to 50 songs in a row trying to find this because I was like, I need this song. And I've not only that, but I've heard this song being played on other deep house mixes for a long time. So I'm like, Jesus Christ already, I need to figure out who has done this song. Lo and behold, I should have just done this from the beginning.
Oh, no.
But Shazam had the answer.
Yeah.
Thank you, Shazam, for everything you're doing. What a great invention, Shazam. Like, God, you people are awesome. But that's how I found it. I'll put up the different ones. I'm not going to, you know, explicitly say which mix was the one that did it. I'll put up a bunch of different ones so you can figure out for yourself. But just really, really good vibes for it. And just something that just, if you feel like you're a bit cooped up at home, you know, if you're staying at home, not being able to see some friends and stuff, I just highly recommend doing some cooking and putting on this type of music. It gets you going, gets you in the flow. And that's exactly what I did, man. We were cooking duck. We would decide to go and cook some duck and just right out there, you know, experimenting with some food, threw on the mix, heard it. And I was like, I need to feature this on the podcast.
Dude, I fucking love that, man. First of all, I love that you are just throwing out some dope music onto the podcast, something for our EDM champions. But above all, I'm just loving that you're exploring your culinary abilities in the kitchen and also trying out some dope tunes, man. Like this is what COVID time is all about, man. You know, it's a time for exploration. And it's a time for just keeping your skills sharp, trying new things, exploring your passions. I recently just found out that I'm really into like stargazing because it's really fun, like identifying stars and planets and stuff, which is really fun. And I love that you're getting into more cooking. And I know you're trying to get into more mixology these days. Like, this is just fucking dope, man. Life is good.
Oh, strong cocktails and stargazing. That sounds like, and some house music and some deep house. Oh. Dude, come on. That's it. That's it right there.
When we team up again, we are going to do all three of those things, the holy trifecta.
Absolutely, man. But dude, I love you, man. What another fantastic episode. It's great spending the Sundays doing this with you and just, you know, I want to say just really quickly as well to the entire community, thank you so much for your continued support. I know we're a podcast, so it's not necessarily on the top of your priority list to be listening to since you're no longer commuting and things like that. But just seeing how people are continuing to tune in, but not only just tune in, but really proactively reach out to us and engage with us. It's amazing. It really makes everything that we do all that much more valuable and motivating. And if we don't get back to you real quick, we're sorry about that. You know, we have busy lives and we do the best we can, but we absolutely will be getting back to everybody that's been reaching out. Really, really, we're going to get better with that. And just thank you so much. Keep reaching out. Keep talking to us. We love you all.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Alec. Beautiful final concluding thoughts right there. EDM champions, we will see you guys next week for episode 73. Don't forget to keep sending in those questions. Stay safe. Be cool. Have a chilled out rest of summer. We'll see you guys soon.